Log Talk Radio.
All right. Welcome back to Common Sense Radio. Today, once again, we're talking XFL. Week 3 is now in the books, wrapped up on Sunday, and we're moving on to week 4 as we get closer to midseason. Midseason is week 5, so we have another 2 games, of course, but we're already near midseason. So first, we're going to go over the standings. In the South, you have the Houston Roughnecks. They wrapped up their 3-game homestand, and they are a perfect 3-0. Just behind them, excuse me, are the Arlington Renegades at 2-1. San Antonio is at 1-2, and Orlando is last in the South at 0-3. And in the North, D.C. is first at 3-0, St. Louis 2-1, Seattle 1-2, Vegas 0-3. So obviously we have a mirror image in terms of standings. You have 2 undefeated teams in each division. Houston, or 2 undefeated teams in the league. Houston in the South, D.C. in the North. The 2-1 teams are St. Louis and Dallas. The 1-2 teams are Seattle and San Antonio, and the winless teams are Vegas and Orlando. And let's see. So this upcoming week, week 4, let's look at what the matchups are. All right, so the Roughnecks will go on the road to face the Orlando Guardians. This will be a Saturday evening game, 7 Eastern, 6 Central, Saturday night, and it will be on FX. FX, ESPN+, ESPN, Deportes, and if you're in your car or you have satellite radio, you can listen to it on ESPN Extra, on Sirius XM. Second game of the weekend, and this will be a late game Eastern time, 10 o'clock Eastern, 9 o'clock Central. San Antonio on the road against Seattle. That game will be on FX, so obviously a doubleheader on FX, late night doubleheader. And this game will also be on ESPN Plus and ESPN Extra, Sirius XM Channel 81. The third game of the weekend and first game on Sunday, afternoon game, and Arlington is going to have its hands full against St. Louis. They're going on the road to play the Battle Hawks. The Battle Hawks, it's been reported and heard that they're going to have quite a crowd for that game. I heard up to 30,000. We'll see. But that's Sunday, March 12th. And that's a 4 o'clock Eastern, 3 o'clock Central, sorry. Game on ESPN2, ESPN Plus, and ESPN Extra, Channel 81 on Sirius. Your fourth game of the weekend wraps up with what looks to be a mismatch, another mismatch, where you have Houston and Orlando 3-0 and 0-3. Vegas is 0-3, and they're at D.C., who is 3-0. So this is your Sunday night game. 7 o'clock Eastern, 6 o'clock Central on ESPN2. So Sunday will be an ESPN2 doubleheader, ESPN Plus and ESPN Extra on Sirius XM 81. All right, so what to expect from these games? When you have a winless team and an undefeated team, regardless of the sport, generally you have to give an advantage to the winless team. I know that sounds crazy because you think the undefeated team is a much better team. But winless teams generally are hungrier, and the undefeated teams are not. Them for granted. Now, not always. I mean, that's a general rule. But we'll see how the undefeateds handle, or they take care of their business, take care of business against the winless teams. Orlando came very close to pulling off a win last week. In the only low-scoring game of the weekend, they lost 10-9 at Arlington. on a last minute or fourth quarter touchdown drive engineered by Kyle Sloter of the Renegades. Orlando had a chance at the end to kick a game-winning field goal. There was a last-minute pass that Paxton Lynch threw that was overturned by the officials, which was, I believe, it was set up close to field goal range with about 2 minutes to go. Orlando ended up the next – that was a third-down play. The next play, fourth-down play, Lynch completed a pass, but it was out of bounds. Then the Renegades ran out the clock. And then Houston had another dominating performance with a 22-13 win over the San Antonio Brahmas in another battle of Texas. I remember we said there's three battle of Texases. You have Arlington versus Houston, Houston versus San Antonio, and Arlington versus San Antonio. So they defeated San Antonio in a game that was a little bit closer than the score indicated, but Houston got off to a pretty good lead in the first half at 22-7. San Antonio scored a touchdown in the third quarter, and the game was actually under the expected point total, which was supposed to be 36.5. So they're on the road against Seattle. Don't sleep on Seattle. I know they're winless coming into last week, but they played an outstanding game, and they came back at the end on a Ben DiNucci pass, a 65-yard pass to Josh Gordon to defeat Vegas in the last minute and a half. Ben DiNucci leads the XFL in passing yards. I think he's at something like 800-plus passing yards, and through three games, that's not bad. And that's going to be a late-night game. It'll be a late game for San Antonio, which is in Texas, central time zone. And I guess we can try to make predictions. So I'll predict Houston defeats Orlando, but Orlando plays decently in the game. I'll predict Seattle to upset San Antonio, if that is an upset. They're both 1-2. I'm going to have to go with St. Louis over Arlington. St. Louis is coming off a defeat at D.C., 34-28. Which I don't know if you saw the end of that game. I did not see that game. I was watching the beginning of the Arlington game, but there was a big brawl that broke out. I think it was after the St. Louis was down 34-20. They scored a touchdown and a 2-point conversion to cut the deficit to 34-28 on the 4th-and-15 conversion in lieu of the onside kick. It sounds as if the D.C. defenders sacked A.J. McCarron, the Battlehawks quarterback, and then a brawl ensued from, I don't know, I can't remember if it was the sack or what happened after the sack, but a big brawl ensued after that, and we'll discuss that a little bit later with some of the ramifications of that. So St. Louis and D.C., looks like they got a rivalry of their own. It's not a in-state rivalry, but, and I don't know if you remember, but 3 years ago, St. Louis was 3-1. And in their final game in 2020, they lost to D.C. just before the league shut down in that week five game. And they ended up tied. I believe St. Louis, New York, and D.C. all ended up tied in the East at 3-2 when the league shut down. Now, in the fourth game, Vegas at D.C., D.C. looks to be one of the top teams in the league. They got really good fan support. Fans are pretty raucous there with that, what is it, the beer snake? So, Vegas looks like they played a little better against Seattle, and the game really could have went either way, but I think they're their quarterback situation, they're probably going to stick with Brett Hundley, who played decently. Luis Perez was ganked the week before against he was ganked the week before, actually against D.C., so this will be the rematch. against D.C., where D.C. defeated Vegas 18-6. We're going to take a short break, and when we come back, we're just going to go over some of the stats and talk a little bit about Wade Phillips, the Roughnecks coach. We'll be right back after this short break. Welcome back to Common Sense Radio, and today we're discussing XFL, our weekly report. We're done with week three and on to week four as we approach midseason. We have two undefeated teams, two winless teams, two 2-1 teams, and two 1-2 teams, and it breaks down evenly in each division. So we're going to go over some team stats here, some passing stats. The Battle Hawks lead the league in not the league, but they have this is in no particular order. We'll go with this. The team with the leading passing yardage is Seattle at 852. That's followed by the Roughnecks with 692. St. Louis is third at 572. Vipers, surprisingly, are fourth at 550. The Guardians are fifth at 491. The Defenders are sixth in the league in passing yards, team passing yards with 400. The Brahmas seventh just behind them with 399. And the Renegades only have 359. They're last in the league in passing yards, but they are 2-1. Touchdown passes, St. Louis, Houston, and Seattle lead the league in passing touchdowns. Now for rushing, Sea Dragons lead the league. The Defenders lead the league in rushing with 449, followed by Seattle, 297. They're tied with San Antonio, each have 297. Then the Guardians at 258, the Vipers at 236, Battle Hawks at 232, and the Renegades, not good. They're last in the league in rushing and passing yardage, but in rushing they only have 190 yards. No rushing touchdowns. DC has the lead in rushing touchdowns with five. And Houston with three, San Antonio and the Vipers with two, St. Louis, the Guardians, and Seattle with one. As we mentioned, the Renegades, none. Now, in scoring, the Roughnecks lead with total touchdowns with 10, St. Louis, eight, San Antonio and D.C. with seven. Seattle with eight. They're tied at second. San Antonio and D.C., the Vipers with seven. The Guardians, five. The Renegades, only three. Only three total touchdowns. Of course, they had two. They had two defensive touchdowns in the first game against Vegas. So interesting. Seattle, which is 1-2, statistically is much more impressive on offense, where the Renegades are 2-1, but they didn't improve their offense. They're last in the league in offense, apparently. All right, then here's some of the passing stats. As we mentioned, Ben DiNucci of Seattle leads the league in passing yardage, 855. He has a TD to interception ratio of 7-3. Brandon Silvers is just behind him, the Houston quarterback. It's 723 passing yards. He's also at a ratio of 7-3. A.J. McCarron of St. Louis, 636 passing yards. TD interception ratio, 7-2. San Antonio, Jack Cohen, has 436 passing yards. Touchdown interception ratio of 5-2. Let's look at some of the defensive stats here. So So the defensive guys don't get jealous. But, okay, we're going to look at team stats first. Okay, in terms of sacks, the Roughnecks lead with 13. They have 13 sacks in the first three games, followed by D.C. with 10. The Guardians have the Renegades have 8. The Guardians have 7. The San Antonio has 9. And the Sea Dragons and Battlehawks each with 4. So the Renegades defense is helping helping them to that 2-1 record despite the lack of offense. And last week, as we mentioned, well, Kyle Sloter was started for quarterback for Dallas, for Arlington. He is he replaced Drew. I think it's Drew Plitt at starting quarterback to provide some kind of spark there. Now, defensive individual stats. Let's look at that. Well, let's see. Willie Harvey of St. Louis leads the league in total tackles with 21, which includes 2 tackles for losses. The sack leader in the league is Trent Harris of Houston has 4.5 sacks. Delonte Scott of San Antonio has 2. Tim Ward of Houston also has, he has 3 sacks. Maximilian Roberts of the Vipers has 3. So those are all the players with at least 2 sacks in the league. There's 4 of them. Interceptions. Michael Joseph of D.C. is the league leader with 3, followed by Sean Davis and Ajean Harris of Houston, each with 2. And there's several others that have 1 interception. Let's add up the number of interceptions, total interceptions in the league. So by my count, there's 19 interceptions thrown in the first 3 weeks, which includes 12 games. And that's unofficial. So let's talk a little bit about Wade Phillips. Now, for those of you who've been following football for, I don't know, 50 years, 40 years, you know who Wade Phillips is. And if you're a Roughnecks fan or a football fan, XFL fan, appreciate his service in this league. The man is an NFL legend. He's coached, been a defensive coordinator and a head coach for the better part of, 35, 40 years. And honestly, I think he should be in the Hall of Fame. That's just my opinion, a lot of it because of his longtime service and his success with many teams. And I was going back and looking at his record, and, of course, I remember him with all these teams, but just going back to his years as a defensive coordinator, 81 through 85, he spent that with the New Orleans Saints. And when he was coaching under his father, Bum Phillips, the late Bum Phillips, when Bum resigned late in 85, Wade took over as an interim head coach. After that, he went to the Philadelphia Eagles for 3 years as a defensive coordinator under Buddy Ryan. Wade helped to bring a division title to the Eagles in 1988. After that, he moved on to the Broncos as defensive coordinator for 4 years. His first season, he led them to a Super Bowl appearance, replacing longtime coordinator Joe Collier. But he led that team to a Super Bowl appearance in 89, his first year there. Third year, he led the Broncos to on the staff that helped lead him to an AFC Championship game. In 1993, he took over as the head coach, replacing Dan Reeves, led the Broncos to the playoffs in 93. 95, he became the Buffalo Bills defensive coordinator, helped lead the 95 and 96 Bills teams to the playoffs. In 1998, he became the head coach of the Bills. In 98 and 99, led the Bills to the playoffs again. In 2002, he went to Atlanta and became the defensive coordinator under Dan Reeves again, helped lead them to the playoffs that year, along with Michael Vick. Became the interim head coach late in 03 after Dan Reeves was fired. And in 04, he went on to the Chargers, led the Chargers to Chargers won the AFC West that year. They won the AFC West again in 06. So they, in his 3 years with the Chargers, three winning years, two division titles. Then he became the Dallas Cowboys head coach, won the NFC championships in 07 and 09, three straight winning seasons. Then he was fired, unfortunately, halfway through the season in 2010 because of the they were off to a very bad start. He was replaced by Jason Garrett. But Wade bounced back 2011 and 2012. He went to in-state rival Houston Texans as a defensive coordinator under Gary Kubiak, led them to two straight division titles those years, two straight playoff appearances. Again, Kubiak, Gary Kubiak, he was fired in late 13. Wade took over as interim head coach. In 2014, he was not in the NFL. 2015, he was hired as the Broncos defensive coordinator, once again under Gary Kubiak, who resurfaced as the Broncos head coach. And what can you say? He had one of the all-time great defenses that year as the Broncos went on to win the Super Bowl, Super Bowl 50. Following year, helped lead him to another winning season at 9-7. After that, he moved on to the Los Angeles Rams in 2017. And in his 3 years with the Rams won the NFC West in 17. In 2018, they made the Super Bowl. 2019, they had another winning season. So, look, everywhere Wade's been, the teams have won. He wasn't there very long, but a lot of that was because of the interim, or he became an interim coach after the head coach was fired. So I do think he should be in the Hall of Fame. And let's also remember he was part of those Houston Oilers coaching staffs that led the Bum Phillips staff that when he led the Oilers to the AFC Championship games in the late 70s against Pittsburgh. So just want to say congratulations to Wade Phillips. I had the chance to interview him many years ago when he was hired by the Falcons. I interviewed him when his son was playing in the Arena Football League, Wes Phillips, and I believe he's a coach on the Minnesota Vikings now. But Wesley Phillips was a starting quarterback or quarterback on the in the old Arena Football League. So congratulations, Wade. And XFL fans appreciate having Wade there. Great man and a great coach. All right, so now we're going to talk about something not as pleasant, which is the brawl that ensued. Well, we have a few minutes here. The brawl that ensued at the end of the St. Louis DC game. And once again, I did not see the brawl. I was already watching the Renegades game, so I did not have a chance to see what happened. So let's read some details on this. It happened after the 4th and 15 conversion. McCarron was sacked. And then, just reading this article, for whatever reason, that sparked a full-scale melee between two teams in which punches were thrown and at least one helmet was lobbied toward the fray. So, okay. Here's some audio from it. Well. I don't see a lot of fighting here, but there's a lot of pushing and shoving. Looks like a wrestling match broke out at the end of the game. Well, at least these guys care, but let's see what the okay, and this is another scuffle actually took place after the Battlehawks took a knee to run out the clock. On the ensuing play, though, was not as serious as this one. The question is, what are the are there any suspensions? Or fines in this game? Let's look that up. Because that will affect the upcoming games this weekend. Now, it does say three players were ejected during the game in the final minute. It says the Francis Bernard and Rod Taylor on, not the guy from the time machine, but Rod Taylor, an offensive lineman, were ejected from D.C. And for St. Louis, Brian Hill ejected for his taking part in the brawl. And it got started when St. Louis quarterback A.J. McCarron was sacked by Dalvin Bellamy on the fourth down attempt for a loss of 7 yards. On the following play, the defenders had the ball, and it was clear both sides still had high emotions, and I'm reading from this from an article on CBS Sports, emotions as they continued to spat. The time then ran down, and the defenders were given the win, so the game did not finish. They just stopped the game. These two teams had an exciting battle, and they are set to see each other again in week 5, so next week. The rematch, March 18th at 7 p.m., I'm assuming that's Eastern, where they'll play in St. Louis. Mark your calendars, because if this is the first matchup, if it is any indication, that game will be a riveting one. This article is by Shanna McCarriston from CBS Sports. Just wanted to give her credit on that. Week 4, well, we have a couple minutes. Week 4 power rankings in the XFL. Let's look at what they are. DC, 3-0. As we mentioned, we're trying to find what the report on the suspension, possible suspensions or fines on the players from the previous week against St. Louis, in which that could affect the game. Houston, number 2, so no change from the previous week. St. Louis, 2-1, no change. Arlington at 2-1, they jumped from 5-4. They're ranked 4th. Seattle also jumped a spot up to 5. San Antonio is ranked 6th at number 4. And the two winless teams, Vegas at number 7 and 0-3, they're same place. Orlando, no change, 0-3, and they're number 8. All right, so that's all the time we have for today's show. We're going to continue to look for what's going on with if there's any suspensions. I thought I saw a report on that there were some suspensions this week, but we'll have to double check that. If it is, once again, that could affect the outcome of the game this weekend. Well, enjoy week 4 games. There'll be a doubleheader this week, Saturday. ESPN 2 on Sunday, and all games will be on XM Sirius Channel 81 on satellite radio. Thank you for your time, and everyone have a good day. Bye-bye.